Welcome to Notcast, episode 206. At least I can count on you.
Yep. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva, back from the dead.
And we're Notcast.
Our powers combined.
Yep.
We're a dog cock.
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to all 3 to 5 listeners that came over from GCC. Our buddies over there sent you our way.
Hello.
And told you to purchase things with our coupon code from adamandeve.com.
Yeah, so we got that out there. That's awesome.
Yes, we get to educate.
What's
some
up, pony
people.
Fags? No, you're not all fags, but what's up, pony fags? So
on this show, everybody's a fag.
Hey. To explain this to Shiva, the GCC had this conversation about why is it called Notcast? What's a knot?
Uh-oh.
And yep.
And Daphnek thought that it was a reference to balloon knot, which is it's a euphemism for
would
the
be
anus.
Valid, but is incorrect.
He thought it would be a reference to anal sex.
And M totally explained it to him similar terms, you know, because ponies, you know, and sometimes they have like the flared horse cock, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so it's kind of the same thing, and. This is educational, kids.
Yeah. Now we have to explain why dogs have a knot, or canines have a knot.
It's to help ensure the female is fertilized after fucking. That's why dogs get tied. And as furries are dog people, they have that too.
They anthropomorphize the cock sometimes.
Sometimes it's human cock, sometimes it's a dog cock.
It's just all cocks.
Yeah.
My character's a hybrid cock.
You weirdo.
Well, I think it's a cool combination. You know, I got human mushroom head and shaft and then a knot at the base.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, best of both worlds.
It's just a thing that's in furries. Real canids have it too. Much like the carefully drawn horse cocks that are present in the pony fandom. So
ever so carefully.
And Tumblr's like big floppy horse cocks. Tumblr.com.
I think that one's gone.
Is it?
Somebody probably like reported it.
So, I wouldn't be surprised. I wasn't watching it, but I liked that URL existed.
Yeah. And that was actually something our friends at GCC found. So, if you are a new listener, let us tell you the origin story. It's like the 206 reboot. It's like Spider-Man 700.
So what happened in that, by the way? Apparently we shouldn't spoiler it, I guess, for people to read comics.
It was some crazy comics bullshit that made a lot of bitches angry.
Okay, because I haven't heard about it. I guess you can
I'll explain later.
Okay, doctor.
So back in the day, because Notcast has been going for 5 years now. We started it back in February 2008.
Yep.
So we're really close to 5 years. And
yeah.
Furry Fiesta, which is the same week as your pony unicorn, will be our 5th anniversary.
Las Pegasus Unicorn, an earthly adventure.
Yeah.
So that it has all 3 races represented in the name.
They love their pony puns.
Yes.
Fiesta Equestria.
It's in Las Pegasus and
yeah.
Niagara Falls, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Appaloosa.
Baltimore.
But back in the day, there was another furry show called Clawcast that was headed by this dude named Flayne. He's kind of disappeared from the scene, so we don't know where he's at. But when it comes down to it, Fuzz here is like, oh, you know, what would a podcast for canids be called? And therefore, we were called Notcast. And I think it was me that came up with the idea to do it Savage Love style. And we were really fucking silly in the first 100 or so episodes.
We're still pretty fucking silly, to be honest.
The whole point is try to give a mix of good advice and lulls.
So, we've been at this for a long time. The 3 of us here, Fuzz and I are original members. Shiva was joined us about halfway.
No, I joined around episode 70. So
okay, so you're about a third of the way in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, right about a third, because we're 206, 70, yeah. And we've rotated a few people in and out. That happens. So we answer emails from kids who are younger than us. I mean, we're
old.
We're middle-aged fur fags, right? I'm nearly 30. Y'all are older than 30. We've been in our relationships for a good period of time. I've been with my partner for 8 years. Fuzz, you've been with Tieran for what, 10?
11.
11. Shiva, what, 13, 14?
15, I think.
Oh, coming up on 16 with a primary mate. And yep. Let's see. With being, while I was gone on the show, let's see, I've imported my other mate from Oz, sent him back to Oz, had him back again, divorced his ass, and started a new relationship. So we've gone through our own cycles of woe and hate.
Yeah,
and
so
success.
And so the point of this show, when we're not trying to make you laugh and talk about the bullshit of our lives, is to try to give relationship advice to younger fur fags to try not to make the same mistakes that we might have made in our own lives. It's fun, and we try to do good in our community. So, enough about that. How was your week?
So, I have something to share with you guys.
All right. He's reaching into the bag of mysteries.
So, I've got to... Here. Have some for Planet Bookmarks.
Ooh, cool. Oh, it's got Fizz. And Rory, how cute.
Those are awesome.
So I ordered a bunch of those. I'm going to... They'll be available for giveaways at Further Confusion next weekend. And, you know, I might reorder some and, like, pack them in the orders or just have them as... I need to do more with the advertising.
Yeah, for reals.
Who did the art? Is that Idis?
That's Idis, yeah. Those were just two additional little pictures that she drew that I was going to put on the website somewhere. I haven't really used them. And I was like, these are little small pictures. They'll probably print perfectly on a bookmark. So
that's
really
cute.
I just threw that design together real quick. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's like really cool.
I have to say, Fez is my favorite. I like Fez more than Rory, but I'm weird. Betcher.
Yeah,
you know, next weekend we'll be out at FC.
Yep, that'll be awesome.
So you can meet the mysterious Saverin, if you so desire.
Yeah. Mysterious now?
Mysterio.
I guess. I mean, I'm just this dude.
People have met you at other cons.
Oh, I know.
You ain't special. You ain't nothing.
No, I'm John Q. Furfag. He just...
I mail packages to that guy all the time. John Q. Furfag.
That's cool. I'll have to use that next time I'm reading Trevor's Tricks or something.
John Q. Furfag.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, it came. All right, I'm going to bookmark that. Come back later. After I've reloaded.
Come back later.
Sport. That's cool. Plus, you got some cool news, right?
Right, yeah. So I should just throw that out there.
Drum roll.
Thank you, Saverin. So, yeah, it was officially announced today. For Planet is the publisher guest of honor at Rainforest 2013.
Sweet.
So I'm super chuffed about that. I'm like, because we've always enjoyed going to Rainforest. Some cons focus a lot on art. Some focus on fursuiting and puppetry.
Yeah.
Rainforest, because they've had some organizers that came out of the sci-fi fandom, which is very literary based. Rainforest has always had a real strong focus on the writing in the fandom. They're the con that does the awesome book launch parties when people release a book up there. They always have a lot of involvement in their writing track. They really like the publishers to be there as dealers.
Cool.
So they're also the ones that do an anthology every year where all of the profits from it go to charity, and we help them out with publishing that. And sweet. So they've always been real hardcore about their writing. So to be honored by a convention that Tieran and I enjoy going to and do well selling at, and has such a strong writing focus, is just, it's something we're really, really happy about.
Sweet. I'm going to try to make that one this year. I would like to.
That'd be cool.
I've never been to Rainforest, and I've never been to FC, and I want to make this year not a bunch of repeats. I'm still going to probably do AC. But, like, you know, there's a couple cons I'm probably going to drop.
We'd love to see as many of our friends out there as possible.
Make it a big old party.
Make it a party, yeah. Have a good time. Because, I mean, outside of just the writing focus and everything, I've always had a good time at RF.
Yeah.
The Unsheathed guys go and do an Unsheathed live show there. Bunch of folks come down from Canada because it's driving distance right over the border that Sweet. Far north. Yeah, and they're also helping out Everfree Northwest. And they had a bunch of Canadians as well because it's like right there by the border. It's
Canadians in Seattle.
Yep.
What a world.
Seattle. Old reference. So yeah, no, it's a great con and a good time. I'll totally help them out by pimping it a bit.
Pimping it a boot.
So we're really, really happy. I'm kind of cool that, you know, we were honored for our podcast at OklaCon. And now Tieran and I's publishing work is being recognized. And that's Thumbs the other up, thing man. I'm really passionate about. So
yeah.
Very waggy.
So
that's the big news from me this week.
My week's been pretty weird. Lots of news of questionable goodness. Nothing terribly untoward. Just been kind of a weird week. You know, it was like having a really bad day. I was having a really bad day. My mom follows me on Twitter, right? And she saw my despondent tweets and comments about eating a dozen Tums. And she actually called me up to see if I was okay. And I'm like,
you tweeted a picture.
These are the best candy.
Bottle fucking Tums.
And your mom?
My mom called me up and was like, are you okay, son? And I talked to her for a while.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
Yeah.
But it's okay, you know. I'm excited about FC next week.
Yep.
I've got the place to myself this weekend. So Panther and Webster and another artist friend of ours have gone out of town to a dark sky sanctuary, which is basically it's an observatory and stargazing place.
Rather far away from humans.
Yeah, it's like midway between here and Amarillo. Way the fuck out there. Mm. And that's not really my bag. So I'm like, no, go on. Have fun storming the castle.
See, I'd go. Part of me is kind of interested in that. And the other part of me is like, I would almost want to do it solo because it would be one of those, I'm going to drive out into the middle of nowhere and just be one
commune with nature.
Be one with the road, man.
See, that's something that, you know, my household was planning to do later on this year, probably.
Oh, okay.
Come springtime.
Yeah, it's just been nice enough that they were like, all right, we're going to do it this weekend.
It's not and I'm gonna be out of cold.
Yeah. So they're out of town this weekend. I'll be out of town next week for FC and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
this weekend for you is a pants-free weekend. In fact, we're recording this podcast pants-free.
In the nude.
You know, you don't have anything to flop around, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm kind of an itty.
Tug the clit out a little bit.
It doesn't come out that far, no matter how hard.
You're not a hyena. You don't have like a 6-inch long clit.
No. You're not like one of some of those cars that have the horrible get my balloon tits.
Dick out of the bedside table.
You're
nice. Stroke that thing. Oh yeah.
So,
furries.
Yes.
What? Now I'm like, if we have pegging questions, now Shiva can answer them. It's great.
Yes, I can. So I was off last week. So we decided to drive out to my parents out in Virginia for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all these plans laid out. We were going to go, you know, see some of the countryside one day with my dad. And we were going to go up to D.C., hit all the museums and... basically, we arrived like the day before Christmas Eve, and it was fine, a little cold, not bad. And then when we wake up Christmas Eve morning, it's snowing. And it's like, okay, it's not really sticking, it's kind of warm. And then partway through the day, it starts to stick. We still have to go out and run errands. So we go out, we run errands, and it's just coming down thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. So we managed to stop by my sister's briefly, run to the store, buy a bunch of wine. And then we decided to go home to Dad's house. The problem is this is my dad's first year in that house. They're still learning. And the driveway is made out of kind of gravel. Mm-hmm. And it's been snowing.
Mm.
Which was
kind of a must, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it just kind of compacted because it was really wet snow. So after about five times trying to get up the driveway, because it's pretty steep with a curve.
Oh, no.
I'm staring at my dad, who's staring at us up the deck. And I call him. It's like, you try. So he trudges down, gets in the car. And after like two attempts, manages to get the car up around the curve with like gravel spin, like spinning out. And there's just smoke. It's like, finally, we managed to get it into a parking space with a combination of rocking and pushing. And it's staying there.
Was this your Matrix?
Yeah, this is my Matrix.
Wow.
So this is Christmas Eve. Christmas rolls around. Everybody comes over to his house. They managed to get up the driveway. And Christmas morning was really nice and white. And then it melted throughout the day. And that's kind of cool because by the time the night went away, most of the snow was gone. It's like, cool, perfect. We had a white Christmas and it went away. Then we woke up the next morning and there were 3 more inches on the ground. And the snow is still coming down. At which point, my mom-in-law calls into work. Dad already had the day off, but so much for going around and going, like, because they got, like, lots of natural caverns around there. They're right on the edge of a state park. We were going to just go drive and look at scenery, point it out to Cerro, the area, maybe go see some of the caverns, and just tootle around the area with Dad. And nope, we ended up sitting in his living room, very nice and cozy, warm, watching the snow go down. Everybody playing on their computers and chatting. Which, it was nice and cozy and snug, but not what I had planned. Okay. Next morning, I wake up and I feel kind of... I just feel tired. I have no energy. I'm feeling weird. And I check my blood sugar, and it was way high. Okay, I've been eating lots of crap the last couple days. I'll just low-carb it, take my medication. We'll take it easy. Mm-hmm. So we go throughout the day, my blood sugar drops, I'm still feeling kind of eh. But we go over to my sister's and we end up going out to dinner with them and all this other stuff. I also burned the crap out of my hand cooking Christmas dinner with Dad. And we go out to dinner and we're heading back. It's like, I really don't feel all that great. I mean, I'm starting to feel really bad, but not sniffly, not cold, no nothing. I just... You know, and we get back to her house, and she grabs one of her, because she's got 3 kids, she's got one of those ear measure ones. So she says, hold still, sticks it in my ear, takes my temperatures, and I'm running 103.6. It's like, oh!
Don't those things, like, drive a needle into your eardrum to get your temperature?
Didn't that hurt? No. So it's like, oh, well... And then shortly after that, my stepmom calls and says, we barely got my car up the driveway because everything just refroze. Leave your car there and get a ride to the base of the driveway. So we end up driving my fevered ass back to my dad, abandoning my car at my sister's house. Mm. At which point, my dad meets him partway in his pickup to drive my fevered ass up the driveway and leaves poor Sarah to hike it up from the road. In the snow, because it's a 2-seater truck.
He gets the genuine east experience in the snow.
So it's 8:00 at night, and it's like we were supposed that day. We kind of letting everything melt a little bit more, but we were supposed to have gone to DC and go have like this romantic like day out together in the nation's capital, go see stuff, and nope. The snow was still melting. Mm. So far, we've pushed back. The drive around with Dad got scrapped. And the trip up to D.C. got pushed back. And now I'm sick. So I go to bed Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I wake up and I toss and turn and fever breaks and all this other stuff all night long. And I wake up at noon the next day feeling completely disconnected. I'm still running a huge fever. And I the only thing I can do to get the fever down is combo Tylenol and aspirin. Because other than that, my fever's like 100 and 203. And I'm still not coughing or sniffling or anything. I got a little bit of sore throat, but nothing too bad.
You didn't try to get to like an urgent care place or something?
No, because all I was doing was running a fever. And I pop fevers at the drop of a hat.
Because isn't that dangerous, running a fever that high?
It's like up past like 104, 105. And I was hovering around 102, and then I take, and it would go down. Yeah.
I guess I'm comparing to me, because I'd be fucking dead at that point, because I never get a fever. And I'm not bragging. It's like I can be sick as a dog. My temperature is normally quite low, and I will be sick as hell, and I will not have a fever.
No, you look sideways at me, and I'll pop a fever.
Wow.
So all this, it's like, okay, so I go, basically, we were sleeping down in their furnished basement. I drag my ass upstairs. I take a shower to help, you know, stabilize temperature, and I've been fever sweating all night. Then I go and I zombie in the living room, feeling like just completely and utterly fucking disconnected from my body and my surroundings.
But and, you didn't die.
And it's like, it's Friday. We've lost Thursday. We've lost Friday. I am sick as a dog. And when I look at the weather report, Saturday is going to fucking snow again.
God.
We have to leave Sunday morning. And it's like, okay, now Sarah's going to have to pretty much drive the entire thing itself. He has got no experience in driving in snow. I learned and have a lot of it, so.
Yeah.
It's like, so we look at it, it's like, fuck it. Look at everything. Look, it's like, it's 3 o'clock on Friday. It's like, fuck, let's just leave now. We'll try and beat the snow. So we end up within deciding and throwing everything in the car. We had packed up all of our Christmas stuff, all of our clothes, everything that had been scattered around the house. We scraped it all up. We just threw it in the car with only a vaguely semblance at organization, and we drove. And we managed to stop at like 1 o'clock in the morning in Alabama at a very nice hotel.
Oh, cool.
And slept our butts off. But yeah, we drove into the rain, but we got below the freeze line, and we get back, and we're almost all the way back to Dallas. We're a couple hours out when Siam calls me on the phone upset because our other car now won't go. It'll turn on, but it won't go into gear to drive. So it's like, crap. And he's still in training, and he can't miss any time at his job. So, no problem, because we're back now 2 days early. He can use the car we're driving back. Luckily, we took it to the mechanic, and it was something like a $5 part. It just looked like it broke.
God, because I was thinking transmission problem.
No, it was a little clip, because we're a manual. It was just a little clip that
Something connecting the shifter to everything else?
No, the clutch pedal to the clutch transmit. Yeah, the little clip broke. They put a little piece of plastic. They fixed it, and they did under warranty, didn't charge us anything for it. But still, he would have been out, you know, out of work if we hadn't gotten back early. So
yeah.
So that's Saturday. We get in late. Managed to sleep in my own goddamn bed. Of course, the guys are treating me like a plague rat, so I'm sleeping in one bed, Siam's sleeping on the couch, and Sarah's in his own bed, because nobody wants to catch whatever bug I've got. So, Sunday morning, my throat is now screaming. It's been getting sore and sore, and now I'm having problems swallowing, so I tell Sarah, come here, look at my throat. Is that strep? He's like, yep, you've got strep, because his ex was really prone to it, and I've seen it a million times.
How does a strep throat look compared to a normal throat?
Your tonsils get really swollen. They got white gunk on it.
Yep, it's...
Oh, okay.
So I went to urgent care, got some antibiotics, and then 24 hours later is at your party.
Yeah.
And
shared it with everybody.
No, actually, I was anal about not touching anything, and if anybody needed to get food, I had, like, Siam or Sarah grab it off the plate for me. Mm-hmm. I very carefully did not touch anything.
Or like, breathe. You did not breathe the entire night.
Well, I was careful not to breathe on anybody. I went to my dad's and it started out really great. Really, really great. And then it went to poop.
Well.
So.
You survived and you're here.
Yes.
And
no longer play dead. Cat.
So, thumbs up to that.
Yay.
I swear to God, you know, I listened to GCC, right? And they were talking about this picture of...
Oh, God, the Celestia picture?
No, the other one, the Milky Way, do you even lactate? And I'm just like, that sounds like such a fucking strange picture, and I want to find it. I can't. I'm like, damn it. I have to search. If I searched on my computer, I could probably find it, but using the ThinkPad, it's all witchcraft.
A touchpad, not a ThinkPad.
Whatever.
I'm going to be all panther now and correct you.
Well, he's not here. Somebody has to do it.
That's right. It's a different thing. It's a thing. Do we have anything else coming up? Well, I guess we got FC.
FC, it's the biggest thing.
Oh, yeah. So Fiesta's pre-reg closes at the end of this month, right? Yes. Okay. Yeah. So putting it out there, any of our listeners that are going to Furry Fiesta,
do it now.
Pre-reg now.
Oh, poor Diddy's going nuts. He's like, all the things.
How are the?
Yeah.
You know, are we like things looking good?
Yeah. Last I heard, the numbers were really up.
Yeah. Last I heard. In December, apparently.
Yeah, last we heard was in December.
Well, in December, apparently our pre-reg was twice what it was last year.
Yes.
At the same time, yeah.
So, it's doing quite well. And just, this conversation came up on Twitter today, where somebody asked, is there any real benefit to pre-regging? I usually just show up. And this particular person had gotten, I think, kind of lucky. Because they'd shown up to another con and they registered like a day late or something like that, and there wasn't much of a line. But so a couple of us like sort of stepped in and explained, it's like from the convention's point of view, it gives a convention a better ability to plan, so that they know how many things to order, how many con books, bags, how much shit to print, sponsors and super sponsors, how many t-shirts and things like that that we have to prepare for. From your point of view, I know Fiesta does Thursday night pickup is for pre-reg only.
Yep.
So
if you're pre-regged.
If you're pre-regged, you can get your badge early.
Yes.
Also, most conventions that do pre-reg print all the badges in advance. So even if you do show up on Friday and you stand in line with everybody else,
they've just got it streamlined to get you out the door.
Yeah. Your shit's already printed and your bag, you know, is already pulled and everything like that. So you're good to go, basically.
And, like, you know, Screechy and Growly, they don't like to work very long.
Yeah, that's Fiesta's printer's names for the batch printers.
Yeah, they have names. Squeaky and something else.
Yeah.
Squeaky and Grumpy, I don't know.
Yeah, just because of the fucked up noises that they make.
Didn't we, I think Wheezy? We also got a new one, too.
Wheezy might have been one of them, yeah. Oh. So it's, yeah, you save, like, $5, $10, whatever it is. But it helps the con, and it makes your checkout experience faster. So for any convention, I definitely recommend pre-regging.
The other thing is if you pre-reg, whether it's sponsor, regular, super sponsor, you're also guaranteed to get all the swag. If you do on-site, it's while supplies last.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean,
because that first year especially, I remember we ran out of shit because we planned for 300 and had like 542 show up. So
holy crap, people.
We ran out of con books. I don't remember how many we printed.
Counting in a circle.
I think we printed 500, so...
Yeah.
We're doing what? Drowning in a circle?
No, yawning.
Yawning in a circle.
I yawned, and then Fuzz yawned, and now Shiva yawned.
One person does it, and it's, like, contagious.
Oh, man. Gotta stay awake.
So, yeah, just putting that out there. Pre-reg, totally. Anthrocon Hotels open for registration February 1st.
Okay.
That was on their website. So, yeah, if you're going to AC, those hotels fill up like that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, and... So I saw this thing on AC's website that linked back, and they have particular policies about the maids basically have to get in your room at least once a day. Even if you have the do not disturb sign on there, if it's on there after like 10 o'clock in the morning, they'll start their rounds and then they'll go back and they still have to go in, knock and go into those rooms.
Yeah.
Because apparently this live journal entry was originally posted in 2008, so it's been a while. But apparently at the time, like, people were just leaving the Do Not Disturb signs up all weekend. And by the time the maid staff got in there on Monday, the room was, like, totally trashed. Mm-hmm. Like, soda spilled on the carpet, can't get it up at that point. Pizza boxes everywhere. Everything is all fucked up. And, you know, and there was, like, having people getting mad at the maids, you know, and giving people attitudes. And it was just a really unfortunate situation. And I'm reading this journal post, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Because, like, AC had to have, like, a real sit-down with the Westin. Because they were kind of like, look, if your people are going to tear this shit up,
we don't
really want you back. And if AC lost to Westin, that'd be kind of a major fuck, right? Because it's right there. It's the biggest hotel in that area. Connected to the convention center, and we're already using every fucking hotel in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, we sell out those hotels every year now.
We get a newspaper article every year.
So it's kind of like...
The furries are back!
And normally, that's a positive thing. And I hope that's kind of changed for how people... Like, I never stay at the Westin, but I hope people are treating it better now. But I was just looking at it, I was like, I guess that's just like all these young people that aren't really socialized and don't really know how hotels work. Because by our age, we've stayed in a shitload of hotels
for various reasons. Don't be a douchebag to the maids. They're not paid enough to deal with your shit.
Yeah, and it's just like some of them, the things they were posting, there was like a really entitled attitude and everything. You know,
fucking kids these days.
I'm paying for my stay. It's like, but you're still a guest on private property. You don't get to be a dick. You don't own that room for the weekend, you know?
You know, I'm pretty sure that there's probably, like, some fucking, like, code of conduct type shit that's in there.
Yeah,
like,
they actually wrote it into AC's code of conduct and everything. So.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is don't be a dick when you're staying in a hotel. Maybe read up on some etiquette about how to stay in a hotel. Because, there's like a minimum age to even rent a hotel, generally. Oh, yeah,
it's
like
18 or 21 in some cases.
Something like that. In some cases, it's 25.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Like,
well, it's probably like the really nice hotels.
You'd have to have, it's kind of like renting a car. You have to be 25. Mm-hmm. Which catches some people by surprise sometimes, so I check into that shit. But just don't be a dick and act like a fucking civilized human being, even though you're a fur fag. Mm-hmm.
I know, right?
When you go to a con, just for fuck's sake.
Do you even bathe? No. Well, do you even lift, bro?
What would be a criticism you'd ask if, do you even shed?
I don't know.
I got off on that tangent, but I think it's good warning to give convention etiquette in general. We should do a whole episode on convention etiquette, actually. Yeah, like a convention Q&A, convention do's and don'ts. That'd be a neat idea. If you want to do that in a couple of weeks, because now we're entering a new year, and a whole new season of conventions is starting up.
Oh yeah, loads of conventions.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do that in like 2 weeks. Like, ask us your conventioning questions.
Yeah.
So I guess we're not doing a show next week because two out of three of us will be at FC. So
yeah, and we're probably gonna do some sort of recording.
Yeah, which may end up on the Notcast feed. It may end up on your other show's feed. I don't.
Free.
Yeah.
May show up on GCC.
It might show up on GCC. I don't know. So, we'll see. We'll do something. But,
yep.
Anyway.
Alright, so.
On to business.
Onward to emails. You can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. We do a show weekly normally, and if you get your email in by 8 p.m. on Friday, Central Standard Time, you'll get read.
The best
with
email...
With an asterisk in the you'll get read part.
There
are minimum requirements.
Like?
Legibility and English.
It's the best email address ever.
Yes, it is. It's like, these guys are total fur fags, notcast@foxstuffers.com.
And we're totally not into...
We are super professional, I will have you know.
Here's an awesome picture of a fox rimming a wolf. There we go.
Yay!
It's Kip.
That whore. I mean... So, emails. Subject... Tied down to a wall of text. First, apologies for the wall of text and any bad grammar. Dear Notcast.
Wait a minute. Didn't we read this last week?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we did. We did. We've read this one.
Okay. Well, then I will delete it because it was in the email box. Okay, so here's another one. Oh, wisest of furs, I have a query. Hey, Notcasters, I'll preface with the usual love your show stuff since you were my first furry podcast and had a lot to do with my becoming involved in my local furry community.
Yay!
I wanted to ask for some advice. I am 18 and as such still living at home, and I'm planning on attending FWA with my mate as each of our first cons. We've worked out our budget and are very excited, but here's a problem. I'm an Oklafer, so I guess you can Oklahoma, and my parents and I don't have a very close relationship, and their general attitude to my personal life has been a desire to believe a vague lie, though they have a vague sense that we disagree on mostly everything. Despite this, I wouldn't want to leave my house for 4 days without explanation, but I can't exactly say, hey, I'm a fur fag. I'm sexually active and I'm driving 800 miles with who you would perceive as an adulterous, evil man to spend a weekend wearing animal costumes and sleeping in the same room as a dude. So my question is this. Should I tell them? FWA is the first weekend of my spring. What should I tell them? Okay. English, motherfucker. Do I speak it? FWA is the first weekend of my spring break, so I'm considering just saying it's a road trip, but I would then have to tell them who I was going with, and they have endlessly harassed my brother because he chose to live with his girlfriend and is therefore an adulterer. Thanks, Lanoia.
So you can't have male friends unless they think you're going to be an adulterer? That's kind of crazy.
Your parents, well,
because like guys going on a road trip is like a thing you do.
Yeah,
I know, but it's like they don't have to know
that his family sounds uptight.
They are uptight, but they don't have to know that you guys are in a relationship or potentially going to be fucking or something like that. Just be like,
just say, look, I'm going on a road trip to Atlanta with some friends, and we're gonna have fun, and I will worry about myself. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, make up a reason. Say you're going to go to Six Flags or something like that.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, look, if you're paying for it, you're out of your own pocket, and you're on spring break.
Yeah.
I mean, you are living at home, but there's really no reason for them to stop you. They should know that you are going to Atlanta. Because that way, you know, if shit happens, they know in the general direction where you went.
Yeah, if you guys get in a wreck or anything like that, if they're not internet savvy, you can always obfuscate the type of convention that you're going to. The fantasy con. It's a comic con. It's something, you know.
I mean, you are a teen. You're technically an adult.
If they are internet savvy and they try to Google conventions in Atlanta that weekend, they might stumble across FWA. So if they are internet savvy, go ahead and say something else, like I said, Six Flags, or maybe you're just visiting friends or something like
I mean, yeah, driving 800 plus miles to, you know, it just don't even bring the whole you're gay and you're going to meet your boyfriend. Just say you're going to meet friends. Because, frankly, it's not their business. You know, if you are underage, sure, that would be cause for concern. But you're old enough to know better.
Yeah.
But still too young to care. So, there's that. And hey, just think, a few years going off to college. Fuck the police.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, gloss over the details. You know,
this is our quality advice. Be vague to your parents. Go have fun. Use a condom.
Fuck and the lots police. Of lube.
So there's that email. One of you read another one.
Oh right.
Yeah, because we only got five more.
Okay. All right. I'm going to read a short one. Well, fuck. I'll just read the next one up here. Okay. Subject line is best friend, because the subject of the topic...
This week's topic is friendship. Awesome.
Friendship. Remember Mortal Kombat?
Yes, I gave you a present instead of ripping off your head.
Friendship. I actually met my best friend in a world standing up for him. We were riding the bus and no one would let him sit with them. They made up some disease that you would catch if you sat with him. So I finally had enough and told the kids to shut their mouths and leave him alone. I then told him to sit with me from now on. Later on, he told me that if I hadn't stepped in and stood up for him, he would have taken his life. Now we are the best of friends and we have each other's backs for any and everything that comes our way. I saved his life that day and he saved mine on a few occasions. We consider ourselves brothers. Our friendship is so strong. Cool. And he also threw their FA names on here, which, you know, since you're wondering, we don't really need, but if you want to throw them out there, they're Fur with two R's, FurFan17, and Patron of Darkness with underscores.
Well, that's really cool, because that, you know, that sounds like
some middle school bullshit. Oh no, he's got
herpes, AIDS,
herpane, cephaloqueer.
Cephaloqueer.
Cephaloqueer. Okay, yeah. All right.
That's Sarah's a new
breaking
one.
New ground.
Breaking and new ground and new diseases. And
apparently.
And spreading them like, yep. I don't know, breadcrumbs.
Like ash cheeks.
Oh my. So actually, I don't know how long we've been going. It is now 10:12.
Mm-hmm.
So
might as well stop and save. We've got three more emails.
Okay.
And lots of bullshit to go.
So I've got a song this week. It's really silly and goofy.
All right.
It's a song that gets remixed with everything.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
So we'll be back.
All right.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. To the space jam. Do your dance at the space jam. Alright. We'll be right back.
week's item from AdamEve.com. I've selected something near and dear to my ass. A fur-lined paddle. The regular price is $29.95, but with our coupon code NOT.
K-N-O-T.
We should have a jingle when we say the coupon code. For real. Yeah. It cuts it down to $15, $14.98, and free shipping, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
So this paddle is black leather on one side, and that's good for the slappy, stingy sensation. And the other side is lined with red fur. So if you're a spanking newbie, it's kind of a thud sensation, and it's kind of padded and soft, so it's not real.
Instead of slap.
Instead of slap. So it's probably a good way to start. And I've seen those fake fur things before. They can also be fun to tease, to just kind of rub over the butt and the thighs and everything like that in between whacking the hell out of people. So let me just read the description real quick here. You'll love laying down the law with this two-sided paddle. The soft, furry side delivers gently cushioned taps, making it perfect for couples just starting to experiment with spanking. When you're in the mood for something different, just flip the paddle over and use the black leather side for a delightfully stinging smack that will make your partner yell for more. Choose red or black, 14 and a half inches long, 3 inches wide. And one of it looks like it all has very good reviews. It doesn't have any one-star reviews, so that's great. Mm-hmm. At 69 reviews, 45 of them are 5 stars. So that cool. Actually is fairly highly rated.
That's pretty good.
That holds up to some serious business.
Whack, yep. Whack, whack. There's one here from Spankaholic. It's like, I love to feel the pain as he spanks me. It makes me so horny that I want him to keep pounding away. This is an awesome toy.
So, thumbs up.
So, yeah, you know, if you buy that, use the coupon code, show up at a con, and maybe I'll use it on you.
Oh, yeah.
Snap.
So, also, during the break, that was totally not like...
Well, I wouldn't announce that yet until know if it's approved or not.
They should approve it, but we're working on getting a code on Adam Mail, so you can get all access to, you know, the gay side of stuff. Instead of the limited gay stuff that Adam and Eve has.
Let's hope.
Yeah, and then we can kind of all... If that ends up working out, we can kind of alternate offering.
Because, I mean, there. Mm-hmm. Dildos are dildos.
And everybody's got a butt.
Everybody's got a butt.
Yep.
And if things work out, we'll have the same code on both sites, so it doesn't matter which one you go to.
But
you can.
I poop from there.
Not tonight, you don't. So... and the song was called Slam of the North Star, in case you couldn't tell. It's the theme of Fist of the North Star mixed with the theme from Space Jam.
Man, it has been so long since I've seen Space Jam. I think I only saw it once in the movie theater.
I did too, and I was like, the fuck? The website's still out there.
What, really?
Yeah, seriously, you can go to, you know, look up Space Jam website, and it's still out there. Since 1994, it is horrifying. Wow. Web design was so different back then. Holy crap. And it still has things like you can download icons and works best in Netscape Navigator and shit like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, behold its look, dark majesty.
Jesus, look at these little icons that they have for Planet B-Ball. Lunar Tunes, Warner Brothers store.
And it's a valid site, and what the fuck, you know? It's one of those things that it's old web that never got... It's still on the same server.
Yep.
And it's just never going to go away.
Screensavers, sound clips, jam posters. I wonder how small these are now. Oh, wow, those are tiny.
400 by 600, man. You got to print that on your dot matrix. And you can maybe make out the fact that's supposed to be Lola. And it's like, oh man, just think. And this is the proto-internet, and people haven't got around to drawing Rule 34 yet. No, wait, they have.
Yeah, I was like, Lola, the face that launched a 1,000 Rule 34 picks.
Yeah, she was so fucking furry that she never appeared in anything ever again.
Oh, look at that. I mean,
except for the fact that she's totally in the new cartoon, but she's a crazy, crazy, crazy bitch.
Oh, is she?
And not at all, like, furry sexy at all.
So, what's the new cartoon?
They've relaunched there's a Looney Tunes show, and it's Bugs and Daffy is sort of an odd couple situation, and Lola is Bugs' ultra-crazy stalker girlfriend, whose parents are equally crazy, and I was not impressed. It's gotten mediocre reviews from what I know. I should probably look into it, but I'm not, like, that enthused.
But yeah, makes me want to find, after hearing Kyle's slash fic of it, I want to find Lunatics Unleashed and watch that.
That was a weird show. They're superheroes. They're Looney Tunes. What the fuck?
What's going on?
Lola's totally the pink one. She was in that too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Pink superhero heroine.
Is it bad that I feel like watching this movie now?
Space Jam?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's on Netflix. Dude, come over tomorrow. Watch Netflix with me.
Fuck, yeah. Well, I gotta do Four Planet stuff this weekend. It's the weekend before FC. We got one book that came in very close to the wire, so we're producing one in-house. And
Space Jam.
I will take a break at some point.
Okay.
It's not on Netflix, I mean...
I'm sure somebody has it on DVD around here.
Oh, God. With the amount of perfect, we have yes.
Yeah.
Let's watch this with this early 90s... 1996 CG and... Ugh. Oh, man, if you want to talk about CG, go back and watch the original Toy Story. That shit does not hold up.
Oh, yeah?
They don't blink their eyes at the same time.
It was, like, amazing when it came out, I remember.
Oh, I know, right?
Fuck, Space Jam is available on DVD only. I wonder if it's on Amazon's video on demand.
Maybe.
That'd be kind of funny.
God, why do I want to watch that movie again? It's so
weird. Oh, and I was just talking to Tilton on Twitter, and he mentioned Real Genius from the old 80s movie. Did you ever see it?
I don't think
Oh, God, I watched that movie like 8 million times growing up.
Well, talking to Rahata has me wanting to watch Big Trouble in Little China again.
Yeah, so there's like this old 80s movie that I want to find now and watch Real Genius. So I might have to do that as well. It was like a teen college comedy.
I think I need to look this up, but I think one thing that Netflix has added recently is a bunch of the Marvel animations and the DC animations.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
It's one of the things that DC puts more money into. So like they have Batman Year One and the various Batman stuff.
Uh huh.
And it's pretty high quality.
There's
if it doesn't have Kevin Conroy, it's crap.
There was one of the Marvel ones.
Batman.
Actually,
he is the Knight.
Yes.
Surprise was really good. There's one called Planet Hulk. Dumb fucking title. Really good animated. Really kind of dark. Surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the title. I was like, what the fuck? And Siam's like, no, watch it. Trust me. And I watched it. I was like, holy crap. This is really, really awesome. What the fuck did they give it that stupid title for?
Because that was the name of the series, the comic books.
Oh, I know.
Where Reed Richards traps the Hulk and sends him through a wormhole because he was threatening Earth.
Yeah.
Then he comes back after he's really, really pissed.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
After a story arc or three
mm-hmm.
on this planet.
Really good adaption.
Interesting.
So,
but better animation usually than you get from a Marvel.
Yeah, the Marvels are really cheap. Yeah. I really wish they would do their Iron Man stuff better, because he's one of my favorite superheroes.
Mm. That's the weird thing, is I love the Iron Man movies, didn't really like the comics. But I like the movies a lot.
Mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr. pretty damn good. He resurrected his career with it.
That and the way they do the armor on that is fucking awesome. Oh, yeah. Anywho, I'll read an email and stop. Comic book
fapping. Tony Stark would have to put me in a Hulkbuster to get me moving in his suit armor. It's like, this is to fight the Hulk. Yeah, but it fits me.
I'm totally out of the loop.
It's okay.
But I'm disappointed it is not available on Prime Instant Video either.
I'm going to read an email.
Our desire for Space Jam has been thwarted. Maybe if I have time, I'll go out to the...
Send a call out on Twitter. Does anybody own Space Jam?
Oh, God. Maybe I'll have to go to the one of the half-price books. I've got a gift card still.
Oh,
okay. I could go to one of the half-price books probably tomorrow morning, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I can find a physical copy. And I will feel shame in purchasing it, but I won't care because it is Space Jam.
I'm surprised I don't have a copy. I almost want to think that I do, but...
I'll look at my delicious library, see if I have an inventory of it. I don't think I do. So we should read an email. We got three more left.
Okay.
We'll finish this up.
That freaking yawning.
Mm-hmm.
Subject. Someone you can count on. Hey guys, it's Underdrag here. I haven't written for a while. My MP3 player died and I couldn't really listen. Now with a backlog, I thrust myself back in. So, topic at pause. It's waiting for one of you two. So, topic at pause. Friendships that you can count on. I'm a fiercely loyal friend, to the point where I will try to help you out when you need it, but step back and let you solve things on your own. Being a good friend doesn't mean coddling them. It means helping them grow to be a better person.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. I've stayed up late helping people deal with their emotions before many times. I've also been helped by similar people, too. Friendships are a two-way street. If you keep giving and giving, especially eventually, I can't fucking talk, you'll be dried out husk of an ex-friend. And the type of person who doesn't burn their bridges early, easily, or early, apparently. So if you cut me off from my friendship, it means you've crossed a major line. I'll spare you the long details of an example of what lengths I go through to protect a friend, but if that friend is listening, they know what I do. I'd still do it today if I could. But there you go, Notcast. A few words from the kindly upside-down silly dragon you all have come to know as Underdrag. Underdrag away!
No P.S.?
No P.S.
No. Underdrag!
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that is the right way, you know, so not to coddle, but to help.
Yeah, because, you know, I hate it when people, even like partners, like, you don't want to, you shouldn't coddle and cover and take the side of somebody on every single issue. Well, those are actually right. But, you know, if you are driving your life off a cliff, you really don't want your partner patting you on the back and helping you push the pedal.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's okay. Here, let me put some more gas in.
It's okay. You're not an addict. It's just a little bit of heroin. You'll be fine, honey. I love you.
You want me to pick you up some meth? I can get you some meth.
It'll make you feel better. But no, there's too many people like where friendships come in and they draw a dividing line and it's like, I'll defend this person to the death, even though they're an asshole. And
yeah, well, it's kind of the same with mates too.
I said that totally about mates. They should be helping you realize you're crazy even more than anybody else.
Yeah, if you're being an asshole and you are crossing a line, it's really up to your mate to say, I mean, maybe not publicly call you out, but they're enough. They should be the ones that take you kind of by the scruff of the neck and say, whoa, 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 whoa. No, stop. Stop making an ass of yourself on Twitter.
Bad.
Bad. Roll to the newspaper.
No, Tyrion's done that to me. He's like, no, honey, go to work. I know someone is wrong on the internet, but you have to go to work now.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, but I want to rip this person a new asshole on Twitter.
Do it later. Do it on the train. Come on.
Fine. Grumble, grumble, grumble.
You know, I can count on Panther to do that with me sometimes, and I'll do it for him.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to like, no, okay, no, honey, back down. Or, no, Saverin, you really don't need to like, call up this person and tell him he's a pedophile. That's terrible. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't call Dateline NBC on him. Don't send flyers to the school that he works at.
So, Mr. Pony, if that's your real name, how old was this filly you were talking to on the internet? She said she was 16 summers old, I swear.
What's this about getting their cutie mark?
I'll help you get your cutie mark in pedophilia.
So, yeah.
Okay, moving on.
The cutie mark is Chris Hansen's face.
So, brief tangent. On FARC today, they had the 25 shirts that shouldn't exist for children.
Oh, God.
And it was various shirts, some from around the world.
Hot stuff.
There was one that was like, don't grape me, except the grapes were in a circle. And it was a scratch and sniff shirt. And the O was on the chest. Mm. There's ones like, nothing says loving like fisting.
What?
What?
How is that a child's shirt?
It was just in a child's size.
Oh, my God.
I guess they're really small people.
Kiss the rim. It's like, there's like, fuck yeah, peanut butter, and it was a candy bar thing. Mm-hmm. And then there was somebody that started posting stuff from T-shirt hell. The baby onesies.
My parents shake me.
No, it was like, daddy just wanted a blowjob. Or, I tore my mom a new one.
Oh.
There was one that was really awful. This the really worst. Pedophiles don't fit in.
Oh, that is so wrong on
me. Yes, it is.
Wow. That's t-shirt hell.
That's t-shirt hell. Don't go there, kids.
Holy Oh, man. I love that artist I follow on Twitter, Pixel Kitties, tweeted a picture of this hat that she found. It says, party with sluts. She's like, what do you think of my new hat?
I'm going to wear that to all the cons.
I would totally wear that to... That might affect my customers, though, if I'm standing behind a purple at a table. Kind of interest you in some books. Party with sluts.
Would you like to party? Do you fit this criteria? Here's my room number.
If so, yeah, here's my room number. Here's my card. Got my room number written on it. Here's my bookmark with this adorable cartoon fox. There's the card where you can come and get fucked later. No, I'm not running my business.
One hardcore anal pounding.
Rainforest is revoking my GOH status. No. In fact, he's banned. He's banned from the con.
Our planet is banned forever.
You're not allowed to print anymore. Okay, so whose turn is it to read an email?
I read one last, so one of you two.
I'll read this one.
Okay.
Advice! Hey, Notcast. To start, I would like to remain anonymous, as the person I'm talking about introduced me to this podcast. Okay. All right, so there is a guy that shows up to the weekend meets that I really like. He's fun to be around, even more fun to hang out with, and easily brings a smile to my face. Not to mention, he is extremely cute. Normally, I would just ask if he wanted to hang out, but something he said at a recent meet gave me pause. Pause. Oh. Polyamory. Insert a Wilhelm scream here. Now, I don't have a problem with it, but I've never been in a relationship involving it. I still want to ask him out, but I'm not sure exactly how I would fare in a polyamorous relationship, as I am not. Any tips about a relationship of this nature and what to know would help, as I still have strong feelings for him and I want to at least try. Thanks in advance for the assumedly sound advice, Anonymous.
So you're not poly and you're looking to get involved with a poly situation?
Oh, I'm just like, first question is he already with someone?
Yeah, because that would be important to know if you're entering a pre-existing relationship and you'd be the third or whatever person coming in.
Fifth, 22nd wheel. So that's something that you should probably find out.
Yeah.
Is he with someone? Is he with someone's?
Or even if he's not, will he still want an open relationship if he was with someone, you know?
Yeah, because if he falls for you, I mean, that may be something that he's willing to discuss or that you're willing to discuss.
It really depends. If you're a monogamous person going into a poly relationship, there's one or two ways. I've seen where it's just one person is content with having one mate, and that's their definition of monogamy. Now, if they're super upset by their mate wandering and still being with other people, then it
that's not gonna work.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You even if you don't have interest in more than one person at a time, if you're getting into a poly relationship, you have to be okay with your partner wandering.
Yeah, it's one of the
emotionally sometimes.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that's like, are they just throwing out labels to make themselves seem interesting, or is this like something that they're legitimately into? And it's one of those questions that you won't know until you talk to them more. Because, yeah, people can throw out the fact, oh, you know, I'm this, you know, queer questioning, pansexual, polyamorous, you know, trans ethnic, Asian, half eagle dog soul child.
Eagle dog soul child.
I was just going to let you run with that, Sarah. Because
like this train don't stop. but when it comes down to it, it's like, how committed are they to that idea? Do they have someone with them, obviously? Or is it just an idea they think is pretty cool? So, I mean, yeah, it's a big scary tag, but you don't know it until you find out more.
And there's also the thing of dealing with something as a concept and then dealing with it when it's in your face.
Yeah.
So you could say, yeah, I think it would be okay if my other partner occasionally went on dates with other people. And then being home when they just left for the night to go have a date with their significant other. It's a two completely to go from concept to go to reality.
You totally need to click that "Would you like to know more" button, Starship Trooper style.
Yes.
So that's the advice. You know, talk to the guy, ask him out, find out if he's with somebody. And if he is with somebody and you want to give it a shot, well, I mean, it doesn't hurt. Okay, it will hurt if it fucks up. I mean, there's not going to lie.
All relationships
can hurt if they fuck up. But, and if he's not, then just kind of roll with it and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have lots of theories. They don't get to always try them out if they find the person that they want to be with.
And you never know. Sometimes you might be completely against something, and then when you get faced with the reality, it's completely different than you ever imagined.
At will threesomes.
Yes.
I mean, in theory, right? Right? So, yeah.
May happen, may not. You never know.
So, that's our super professional advice. Ask him out. Find out if he's with somebody.
Go from there.
Go from there.
Word or something.
Yep. That last email is mine.
I suppose you can have the pad back.
Give me my iPad thingy.
Thingy, roughly approximating an iPad.
It's not an iPad, it's a tablet. It's some goddamn IBM thing, I think. Is it?
HP, I thought.
Oh, I don't fucking know.
It's an HP touchpad.
HP touchpad.
It's an HP love pad.
It's something that Panther got on the super cheap because the company fucked it up and they couldn't sell them in the market that was inundated with the iPad. So they're kind of open source. They're really freaking snappy, but they don't run anything because it's its own OS.
Right. So you don't have access to like Android's App Store or Apple's App Store.
You have what's on the device, which is fine because it has mail and internet and it's pretty snappy.
Mm-hmm.
Has he really used it since he got it?
No.
Okay.
I think he just wanted one to kind of try it out, and it was pretty dirt cheap.
It was like $1.50. It was like $1.50.
Yeah.
Because
they had a fire sale to get rid of them, basically.
They just liquidated the shit out of them because they were like $600, $700. They were like iPad prices,
going
I think.
Nowhere.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the that BlackBerry one, except this
the
one
playbook,
actually.
Playbook, right? Was that BlackBerry?
I don't know. Just this one actually kind of fucking works, whereas the other one just didn't.
Yeah, like that one had real fucking issues, man. The only problem is that HP really didn't give that platform much time to kind of find an audience or to build up any market.
But then again, HP's been like a real shitty company since the 90s. And so they just like...
My printers are nice. But yeah,
they're printers. They're really hard to fuck up.
Well, it's like printers were like their bread and butter, but then when they like tried to like sort of expand into other areas,
yeah.
And really,
their PCs have been kind of garbage for a long time.
You know, and it's like they tried to do a tablet, and it's like, oh, well, it wasn't an instant fucking success. Toss the whole WebOS platform.
Yeah, and apparently the WebOS is supposed to be pretty snappy on the device.
Well, they made it open source because they didn't give a shit about it anymore.
So I'm sure there are hackers out there that are making these things do fucking backflips, but for its purpose.
You know, you could probably hack another tablet, right, and install WebOX on it, like if you wiped it or something.
I don't know. All I know is that this is basically the Notcast tablet.
Okay.
So that's what it gets used for most.
Yeah. Panther took the iPad out of town with him, and I was like, well, get the fucking touchpad out.
And you're like, oh, man, it's not Apple. My fingers will melt off. All right, last email.
Final email.
It's 10:50. It's late.
It ain't that late.
It's not really not. It's Friday night.
We should be fucking partying all night, you know?
No, dude, we've got raids. No.
Oh, God.
That's Sunday.
Sorry, I let my non-gaming self kind of slip out there for a second. I was like, oh, fire.
Yeah, I spared my WoW fagging for the week, so be glad.
Yeah.
I got my full recolor tier 2 set on my guy. I want to show you my character, though. I'm pretty proud of it. Anyways, dear Notcasters, first of all, dear brothers, this is a rather long letter. If you read it, though, I hope you'll recognize why it needs to be as detailed as it is. Subject of this email is friendship.
Friendship.
I would like to preface the comments in this email with a simple description that I believe is friendship at its core. Friendship is fair. Yes, some might say friendship is a deep and meaningful bond, and they're right. Others might say friendship is magic, and they are right. Also, bronies. At its most basic level, I think that a true friendship does have to be fair. Also, feel free to keep or remove my name at the end of the email as you see fit. I have no problem talking about the issues I had when I was younger with you or anyone else, as I feel it is vitally important that people who are in my situation do something about it, but if you feel it is inappropriate, feel free to read this while omitting my name. When I was in my early to mid-teens, I had a group of three close friends who lived in around the village I lived in. I hung out with them at school and socially. I devoted much of my time and effort to planning and sharing social events and special occasions with them. I made every effort to be kind, respectful, and a good guest when visiting their homes and meeting their families, and in return, they made jokes at my expense, laughed at and mocked me, and took advantage of every effort I made to make them like me while returning nothing. It is worth noting that at the same time while this was happening, my younger brother had been diagnosed with leukemia, and thus my parents were spending much of their time focused on his care and treatment, leaving me, the responsible and well-behaved teenager, to look after himself with no idea of the problems I was having, as I had no one to talk to in order to recognize that they were problems. Those so-called friendships, combined with the lack of any other support at the time, colored my interactions with the people for several years after, and at one point during the time even led to me, 15 at the time, into an online relationship with a guy in his late 20s, who loved me just enough to let me send him dirty videos of myself. Again, I was 15, while putting nothing more than a few empty gestures of kindness towards me. Gestures which, after so much time spent thinking of what that friendship was supposed to be one-sided and full of cruel jokes that you were not supposed to let bother you, I took to be genuine love. Needless to say, I've moved beyond that now. I went through a fairly rough patch following that online abuse, which led me to severing all ties with those former friends and withdrawing from more or less any social contact for more than a year. But after some counseling and a great deal of soul-searching, I found a new lease on life and a new take on friendship at university. I still had issues, though, issues with trust and friendship held over from my teenage years. And while I knew that people were not supposed to ridicule and hurt you if they were your friends, I still didn't feel like I was someone truly worthy of such selfless and fair friendship. I felt it necessary to ensure my friends needed me by buying them gifts, drinks, at meals at my own expense, and took a second minor meltdown in the early part of 2012 to finally bring me to some sort of sense. I was diagnosed with clinical depression, and while I was also given medication to handle stress and anxiety, I also sought further counseling to deal with some of my issues regarding self-doubt, self-worth, and the various neuroses I had picked up over the years. As I'm sure you'll agree, all this sounds rather depressing, but that's where you're wrong, because the story has a happy ending.
Yay!
Before last March, when I was online and in the furry fandom, I always felt very much safe as I could interact with people at a distance that didn't involve me being at risk. As a result, I was able to portray myself more confidently and happily to the guy I always wanted to be IRL. But since last March, I finally faced the last of my demons and come out the other end. I have, at long last, become that confident, happy, friendly guy I always dreamed of becoming. I'm living alone, truly independently, for the first time in my life. And not only do I feel capable of doing so, I'm absolutely loving it. I've made new friends, wonderful friends I treasure dearly. I love being with them, joking and laughing with them, and even on occasion treating them. Not because I feel I need to buy their friendship, but because I love to see them as happy as I feel being around them. Every week I'm meeting new people, experiencing new joys and delights that I was denied before as a result of my own internal fears. My life has turned a corner, and it really does seem to be because at long last I can look at my peers, the people around me, and know that if I was feeling down and did need their help, I'd get it without hesitation, just as I hoped they know I would give my help to them. Friendship is fair, and anyone who looks at the friends they cherish should honestly be able to say the same thing themselves. Sincerely, Jeeves of the Rue, Scotland.
Yay.
There we go. P.S. Oh, and to finish on a happy note indeed, my brother made it through his treatment and has been healthy ever since.
Good.
That is awesome.
Good end. So there you go. That is an excellent email with which to cap off this week's episode. Losing my voice a little bit. It's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I've
sick or just...
Oh, I don't know. It's been like this for like a month now. Oh, where it's okay. Like it comes and goes. And some days I have a cough. Some days I don't. I don't know.
Mm.
Could be allergies. Could be something else.
Yeah.
I'm going to like vomit out my lungs the day before I fly out for FC and not get to go or something.
Ooh.
That would suck.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, that would kind of blow.
I'm going to vomit my skeleton out. Oh, no. Which would be bad because, well, I've got stuff to do out there.
Like roll you through the metal detector in the airport in a bucket. This is my skin suit.
So here we are, end of another episode. You can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com.
Find us on FA, Twitter, and LiveJournal, which we never use for the show, as Notcast.
Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at Savrin Drake.
I am Fuzzwolf2000 on Twitter.
And I go by Chimera, which is Khymaera.
You can always find one of us, at least me, in the Notcast IRC channel on AntherChat. It's irc.antherchat.net /notcast. I do believe we still have the registered nick restriction, so you have to register a nick with the IRC.
It's because we're an adult.
Adult room, and it just makes flooding harder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have flood insurance, I guess.
Pretty much. You can find us at foxstuffers.com or notcast.com. And that's about it.
Yep. You know? So no show next week. Savrin and I will be at Further Confusion. So.
All things, if things go well.
Twiddling my thumb.
please come by the Fur Planet table in the dealer's room and say hi, buy some stuff. Give fuzz cookies. That works. We have like 9 or 10 new releases. We're also releasing our first ever hardcover, which is Summerhill by Rikoshi.
All right, he's been working on that forever too.
Well, he started it in 2009, so I guess it took like basically 3 years to write, and then he's been tweaking it and stuff like that, and now we've actually got it in print. Quite happy about that. So.
Good.
There's another book that I was thinking about.
Well, I mean, that does seem like forever. I agree.
That's true. It's 4 years is a decent amount of time for a book. But
yeah.
There was another one that I thought you guys snatched up that had been in production and worked on for like ever. But
okay. Well, it'd be Buster Wild, kind of. That was one that...
That's been around and done for a long time.
You meant like recently?
Yeah.
Oh, what about Gene Catlow?
Yeah.
Because it was on the web for ages. It's never been in print before.
And you got that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, cool stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing FC. It's my first time to that con.
Yeah.
Second time in San Jose.
What hotel are you staying in? Is it the Hilton or the Marriott?
I would have to look.
Okay, because The Marriott is the one where the con actually happens in, and the Hilton is the overflow.
Uh-huh.
And they're connected by this walkway in the convention center, which is, like, concrete. So I, like, killed my feet last year because I accidentally got a hotel in a room in the wrong hotel. And I had to, like, run back to get the get some stuff at a table before we opened. And there really is no, I'm going to quickly run back to the room and get this at the new location. So okay. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
I'll have to look.
Okay. I was just curious, since we'll both be there. We may have...
The friend I'm staying with has handled that. And I have the email sitting in my inbox, but I haven't looked at it.
Okay. You know, maybe we'll see. I want to come to your pony panel on Sunday or whatever day that is.
Pony panel? What are you talking about?
Oh.
Yes.
The idea behind the panel being that these are five bronies that came...
Who are total fur fags.
Who are total fur fags. And
surprise! I'm going to be on that panel. You have to figure out which one I am.
And they'll discuss the crossover.
The crossover and the likes and the similarities.
And the burning hatred.
Yeah. Well, if that goes well, I will be...
I'll stand up and raise my hand and be like, can you talk at length about the drama?
Can
I
you
find
talk
it really amusing.
Can you talk about Derby? No.
What's Rule 34?
Got musicians and an artist and a bunch of podcaster types.
Why does Celestia have crotch boobs?
Because all ponies have crotch boobs.
Why are they lactating so much? Wouldn't she have to be in a perpetual state of pregnancy for that to happen?
She's a goddess. Don't ask questions.
Okay.
She's not flying by the force of her lactation. God, fucking picture.
On that note,
good night.
And lactating balls.
Whoa, what the fuck?